We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They weren't my Mets. They were just the Mets. I just happened to be rooting for them against the Atlanta Braves, which, by the way, a lot of Philadelphia Phillies fans were in 1999 and 2000. But you guys want to stick me with it?
That's what you do. You loan it?
It is what it is.
Great song.
It is a great song. And I still think both of you guys underrate the Doors, but that's a whole nother.
I love the Doors.
I think the Doors are good.
Yeah, but James, you can't say the Doors are good.
You're calling me with the Spike Eskin stuff. Spike's the one who hates on the Doors.
All right, well, the Doors are great, but they're not good. The Doors are great.
I think the Doors are great. I love the Doors. Yeah, I'm a Doors guy.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Beat the Hammer. We do it every single Friday at this time. I come in with a record of 25 losses, but 169 victories, a truly astounding total of victories and winning percentage. And Pete the Hammer today, we have a $50 gift card to Galifti's in Bryn Mawr on the line for whoever wins, whether it's me to give away to someone else or perhaps our contestant. We'll get to him in a moment. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All righty, and our contestant is Ryan, and he's from Center City. Hello, Ryan.
Joe, how are you?
Good, buddy. Do you know yourself some sports trivia?
I may know myself a little bit of sports, yeah. Hey, I do have to pick a little bone with you, by the way, real quick.
Big bone that is. What is it?
Just real quick, your take on Joel Embiid the other day was a joke. An absolute joke.
Well, so I'm going to school you before Beat the Hammer.
I'm going to school you now,
and then I'm going to school you in about 5 minutes. So here's the deal.
Right.
What happened yesterday and how dug in Daryl Morey is goes to show all the more why Joel should not have said what he said. I mean, the general manager is telling you that it could go on for a long time. The star player should not have said what he said 2 or 3 days ago.
All right. Well,
because what he's doing is he's actively undermining the strategy. Whether you like the strategy Daryl Morey has or not, Daryl Morey has a strategy, and Joel Embiid undermined it. That was stupid.
Ben is undermining the
strategy.
Well, Ben's
undermining
Joel is being a leader.
Ben's undermining
Joel's being a leader here. This has nothing to do with Joel Embiid. This is all on Ben.
All right, Ryan, beat the hammer.
All right, let's go.
I am going to step into the soundproof booth, and despite your coming at me, I'm still going to wish you good luck.
All right. I'm not wishing you any luck.
I love this.
You don't need it.
Good job.
It doesn't. Ryan, you're 100% right. He does not mean it one little bit, so... It's probably the correct move to just stiff him on that one.
That was good work.
He is George Jefferson. We got it. It is official.
Boy.
It has happened. He is slowly George Jeffersoning himself into the soundproof booth. He is out of here. Ryan, Ray, play a little Beat the Hammer.
I am ready. Let's go.
All right. Sometimes things just work out. You know what I mean? It is Eagles-Raiders this week. It is the Richie Bowl. It is the five-year anniversary of our show. For the first time in the history of Beat the Hammer, we're doing a little John Ritchie trivia today.
Oh,
how
no.
How about it?
Are you serious?
I swear to God, John Ritchie trivia is our category.
I didn't know there was.
Sometimes
John.
It just
gosh.
Works out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
all right.
No.
Ryan, you ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Question number one. In the 2003 season, John Ritchie was one of only five Eagles players who caught more than one touchdown pass. Name two of the other four.
2003 season, John Ritchie. 2003. Todd Pinkston and... Oh, my gosh. Freddie Mitchell.
Who was the Eagles starting fullback in 2002, the year prior to John Ritchie joining the team?
Oh, my God. Pass.
How many regular season games did Ritchie's Eagles win in 2003? Ritchie's Raiders lost to the Bucs in Super Bowl 37. Two future Hall of Famers scored a touchdown in that game. Name one of them.
Two future. Oh, man. Should I repeat the question?
Ritchie's Raiders lost to the Bucs in Super Bowl 37. Two future Hall of Famers scored.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Well, we got one. You got that first one. You never know.
Taking too much time. That's all.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough
when
you get
on
the first time.
First
yeah, you got there. Pulled it out. We're going to put you on hold.
Those were challenging.
We'll wave the hammer. It's John Ritchie trivia, man.
Very challenging. Deep dive.
Slowly walking his way. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, John Ritchie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You had no idea, by the way.
None.
Yeah. All right, here he comes. Slowly.
That seemed like it took a long time.
It was a normal time, I would
say.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Real quick, before you do your whole thing, let me just, it is our five-year anniversary, so let me just go inside baseball and beat the hammer.
Okay.
Because
is this the part where you pat yourself on the back for all these questions you come up with?
No,
and this complain?
Listen, this is the part where I apologize, because one of the first things I ever did when we started our show was I walked into Spike Eskin's office, and I said, listen, I've known Joe DeCamera for a long time. I have a segment for this show. We have to do it. It's a Joe DeCamera trivia contest. We messed around with it, figured it out. Beat the Hammer was born. And I just want to apologize to every person in the Delaware Valley for this. I'm so, so, so sorry.
You know what?
I had to get that off my chest.
James, I kind of take that as a compliment. You know, you've created the platform that's created a monster.
And, yes, well said.
So there it is. All right, Ryan in Center City, how did he do today?
Are you ready to roll here?
I mean, I've been ready. I was born ready.
All right, I said it before, I'll say it again. Sometimes things just work out perfectly.
Okay.
Eagles-Raiders.
Yep.
The Richie Bowl.
Yep.
For the first time on our five-year anniversary in the history of Beat the Hammer.
Okay.
John Ritchie trivia today.
Get out of here.
How about it?
Wow. Okay.
Ready to roll?
Cordell Stewart.
Incorrect. That's one wrong. All right. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
John Ritchie trivia.
Yeah, buddy.
Clock has started.
Okay, let's go.
All right, question number one. In the 2003 season, John Ritchie was one of only five Eagles players who caught more than one touchdown pass. Name two of the other four.
2003, you said?
Yes.
Name two of the four. I will say Thrash and Pinkston.
Who was the Eagles starting fullback in 2002, the year prior to John Ritchie joining the team?
I'll say Cecil Martin.
How many regular season games did Ritchie's Eagles win in 2003?
How many regular season games that year they won 12?
Ritchie's Raiders lost to the Bucs in Super Bowl 37. Two future Hall of Famers scored a touchdown in that game. Name one of them.
I'll say Derek Brooks.
Ritchie's Eagles coaching staff in 2003 featured seven guys who would later become a head coach in the NFL. Name three of them.
Harbaugh, Childress, and... I'm really blanking here.
Wow, Sean McDermott.
Yeah, I was really
Sean
blanking.
McDermott, Brad Childress, John Harbaugh, Steve Spagnuolo,
yeah.
Ron
Pat
Rivera,
Shermer, David Culley, and Ron Rivera, plus Morningwig, who had been head coach.
Yeah, I mean, bad job by me there.
It's a 3-1 victory, though.
Yeah,
he
missed, I mean,
Thrash only caught one touchdown pass. It was Westbrook, Mitchell, Pinkston, and Deuce.
Yeah, I mean, it's
John Ritchie, by the way, second on that team in touchdown receptions with three.
You got to be kidding.
McNabb only threw 16 touchdown passes that season.
Well, they ran the balls because John was lead fullback, and they, you know, all three backs were phenomenal. Well, I won, and that's 170. I mean, sometimes you got to take it in. I mean, on a five-year anniversary, to get to victory number 170 is pretty
damn impressive.
I agree with me, actually. I mean, I always agree with me, but I mean,
that's what you do. That is what you do. 170.
And I told you a couple months ago, I was struggling there a little bit, and I not doing so good. And I told you at 161 and 25 that the goal was to get to 175 and 25. And much like the 2003 Eagles, that is now a 9-game winning streak. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I tied in the 03 Eagles. By the way, that 9-game winning streak, I believe, ended versus San Francisco in like the second to last game of the season.
All right,
I think.
You're the hammer. We get it.
Correct.
Up, yeah. Like that.
Exactly right. Exactly right, Hammer. We welcome Ryan, who was doing a lot of talking before. And apparently...
I know. Joe, I give you your credit where credit is due. You kicked my butt.
So first off, little chump, hold on. You don't give me credit. I took credit.
All right.
Go ahead.
Listen, I give you credit where credit is due. I will say that. I will say I was a little caught off guard by that the category there,
sure.
You know what? It's well deserved. John Ritchie, you are the man.
I thought everyone would be caught off guard.
I was totally caught off guard.
I mean, come on, we've never done it. 5 years, had to.
It's kind of funny.
I thought for sure it was going to be something along, you know, with all this drama that we've been having this week with the Sixers, Ben Simmons. You know, I thought that's the route Jimmy was going to go. But hey, listen, I lost fair and square, and. I'll take the L on my check.
All right, Ryan,
a lesson for you. Well, you know, 5 years into this show, look at what Ryan did.
Okay, well, lesson,
learn.
Lesson for everyone else. If you have a prize in your hand and you have the opportunity to give it to the loser, give it to the loser. Ryan, I'm going to award you this $50 gift card to Galifti's in Bryn Mawr because I'm a nice guy.
I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you.
And I do appreciate you, Ryan, not only losing today, but listening to our show and participating.
Absolutely.
Ryan,
I love you guys.
Thanks,
congrats,
buddy.
On the 5 years, by the way.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, Ryan, I'm going to put you on hold here so we can get your information and get you the gift card. And with that, we shut it down with victory number 170.
Joe DeCamer, you are officially a jackass.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
John, how do you feel after 170 just washed over me? It didn't wash over you. I mean, 170, dude.
A little let down.
I wish I got that last one.
I appreciate the category.
My brain wasn't working.
Was I thought that was one of the easier ones.
So, you know what the problem was?
Rice, by the other way.
I thought
the
about
other
that.
Hall of Famers
I was rifling through offensive coaches. I should have just gone to defense. I kind of got stuck. But it is, as they say, what it is. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to get to Ray Dittinger's pick on the Eagles and the Raiders game. And rock all your phone calls throughout the program. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about coming up soon. You can start planning ahead for the next Sunday home game. Join me and John Doornbos on Sunday, November 7th before the game against the Chargers from 10 a.m. to noon at Live Casino and Hotel, your game day headquarters for the ultimate pregame block party with fun games and giveaways. Will be great to see Doornbos. Of course, you can meet Doornbos, a man of many talents. We'll talk some football, play trivia, enjoy some food trucks, and, of course, a DJ. And you can stay and watch the game on over 200 screens. So visit livecasinophilly.com for complete details. Again, livecasinoandphilly.com, Live Casino and Hotel. Game on. What are you playing this for?
I figured five-year anniversary, even though you won, you know, we'll give you a little something. You never play this if you won. It's my five-year anniversary present to you, Joe.
I mean, I actually thought you guys might today want to play the first time I lost, which was...
Oh, that's a great idea.
A truly
we
classic
should play that.
Piece of audio.
Yeah, we'll pull that up. That's a great
of our
call.
Show. For those that don't know, if you're just tuning in, Sunday's the technical five-year anniversary of our program coming together. So with us not being here on Sunday, we're having some fun and looking at some of the notable moments in the history of our show, including, by the way, you know, like the Eagles, they won the Super Bowl, guys. You know, like, let's not
That actually probably the single best, not probably, definitely the single best.
John, let's not forget that one. You know what I'm saying? You and James watched the game together.
We did. Richie and I were like hugging each other.
I was, you know, I was
unbelievable.
I was with my family. You guys were together. That was good stuff. I mean, good stuff. It was miraculous.
It was in Fishtown, and my kids were there. And afterward, I mean, it was a party, man.
You think?
Walking out into the streets, I had no idea it would be the way it was afterwards, where it was the entire city.
I had no
was
doubt.
Just out.
I had no
and,
doubt that's what it would be.
In love with one another and the team and the world. It was the greatest
amazing
experience.
Stuff. We hope in the next 5 years to get another Philly sports title. I mean, Sixers have the best shot, you know, but they got to figure this Ben thing out and try to pivot to, you know, a player or players that can help them. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to Ray's pick on the Eagles and Raiders. It is still a small spread. I mean, this spread all week has been either 3 or 3.5, which does feel on the low side. Now, I know John thinks the Eagles have really not a ton of a chance. I mean, they got a shot, in John's opinion, but not a particularly good shot. I mean, certainly I would pick the Raiders, but I think John is a little too pessimistic on that one. But let's go to the phones.
Well, like I said, I think we can make it a game. I think there can be a lot of scoring.
But I don't want them to make it a game. I want them to win the game. I mean, it's...
Well, I think it's a low chance.
You do think it's a low chance.
For that to happen.
I know you do.
Well, I mean, when I say low chance, I mean, quantifying that, I'm saying like 30% or lower.
Okay. All right. I'd go higher than 30. Let's go to the phones. That plus all the Ben Simmons stuff. Let's talk to Steve in Williamstown. Hey, Steve.
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
Doing well, Steve.
You guys mind if I put you on speakerphone? My ear is getting real hot and sweaty from holding the phone to it.
Is this like a Ben Simmons thing where you have a weak cop-out?
So, no, it isn't. But now that you mention the Sixers, I'm not so sure that people are not reading into Joel Embiid's comments about Ben Simmons the wrong way. That he made the other day.
Okay.
Yes, he said he's not there to babysit anybody. I say the same thing about my kids, my relatives, my coworkers, everything. But he also did say, I don't care about that, man. How do we know there wasn't a comment?
No.
That he wasn't...
Someone tweeted
that.
You're
assuming that.
Well, I listened to it, and I don't think what you're saying was his intention. It's an interesting point to bring up, Steve. I went back and listened to it. And I am convinced he was saying, I don't care about that man, Ben Simmons, not I don't care about that man. Yeah,
I kind of hope he meant that I don't care about that man. The cynic in me wanted him to mean that, but I'm not so sure that he did mean
Well, listen, we can pull up the audio and dissect it. I did that the other day after someone pointed this out to me on Twitter, and I feel pretty confident he was directly talking about Ben Simmons.
I also wanted to wish you good job on your Beat the Hammer win today, Joe.
Thanks, Steve.
And I don't know that after you get to 175, why don't you just retire a champion and just get rid of the whole Beat the Hammer thing altogether?
You know what? Here's the deal. When you win, just keep winning. I mean, Bill Russell eventually retired. I mean, you know, you can't play forever, but he won 11 times in 13 years. I mean,
I like this. Just retire.
I might as well dominate for
– I tried, James. I'm
sorry. I appreciate it. Good looking out.
Didn't work, Steve.
Good looking out,
Steve,
buddy.
Give me a song that references a city.
So I got a song that I know is going to be a winner. It's got local ties. Philadelphia Freedom by Elton John.
Already said. Give me something else.
Yeah, I know. How about I've Been Everywhere by Johnny Cash? It's got about 200 city
That's a
titles.
Great one.
It's an amazing answer.
That is a good answer, Steve. Yeah. And a good phone call, man. Really good stuff. When you get a chance, James, try to pull up that audio of Joel from, I think it was 3 days ago now.
I have it. I have this shortcut of just that part that you're talking about if you
want
to hear it.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
You want the full thing?
Well, how long's the full thing?
It's like 30 seconds as opposed to 10.
Yeah, let's play the 10-second one. If it's not enough, we'll play the big one. Here we go. Yeah.
You're 100% right.
The reason I feel confident he was saying I don't care about that man, not comma man, is because he pivot so quickly to then say
he
referencing
does whatever
that was
he
my
wants.
Exact
he,
thought.
He says
I thought the same thing because he goes right to he does
he.
Whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's talking about Ben. I don't care about that man.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind about that. I mean, it's not like Joel was like, flowers and rainbows that day. I mean, he was spitting fire.
Yeah, he was.
So, you know, I mean, it's just what it is. Let's go to Mike in Douglasville. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, Mike.
Hey, happy 5 years.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Awesome job. So much to talk about. It's interesting with that new with Ben Simmons coming out today. I actually met with everybody. That I mean, I guess you could take that multiple different ways.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's probably a charade, but
probably,
you know, it's impossible for us to know, but it's probably a charade.
Definitely. But on to the Eagles, which, I mean, I give us almost a zero chance to win as long as long as we keep rolling out the same offense that we rolled out. If he actually changes it and runs the ball, does different formations, tries to confuse the defense, then, yeah, I think we'll win. But if we run out with that same offense and the same shell defense, we're done.
Well, it's not zero, but it certainly would hurt their chances. We need Sirianni to make adjustments. We need him to know he needs to make adjustments. And this guy Sirianni has already lost me. So now for me, for Sirianni, the only way he can get me back, so to speak, and I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, he's got to win me back.
I mean, prove,
dude, that you should be – I mean, forget just like the Eagles head coach. Prove that you should be an NFL head coach. Because I've seen nothing to this point, nothing. I mean, zero that tells me that this guy is worthy of being considered one of the 32 best in the world of all the guys that aren't 80 years old and retired. Like, of everyone that wants to be a head coach in the NFL, there's no way this guy's one of the top 32. No way.
Right.
Wasn't there a clip of him coming out in, like, training camp yelling at Rager or something for making the same mistake twice?
So the clip, there was no audio clip ever associated with it, to my knowledge. What we do know is that he got on Rager hard. The reporters referenced it for some sort of media team agreement that allows media across all cities to watch training camp. They were not allowed to discuss certain details of what went down, but they were allowed because, you know, I remember they get to see the plays. So the teams have to protect something there. But the media members did talk, you know, extensively about the fact that Sirianni really got on Rager, which I was happy about. I mean, you know,
I want a coach
that's got some bite.
I just find it funny how, you know, I believe he actually said something about not making the same mistake twice. And yet we're six games in and we're just seeing the same mistakes over and over.
That's a good point, Mike. Mike, give me a song that references a city.
How about Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen?
Sure. Yeah, that was
great.
A
one.
Great song and a heck of a movie that was in. Heavy stuff right there. All right, let's get to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger, of course, near the end of the week, every week on with Angelo. And, you know, when the Eagles are a 10-point underdog or a 10-point favorite, you know, you can pretty much tell who Ray's going to pick because – you know, 10-point underdog or 10-point favorite. But the games where it's a tight line like this one, 3, 3.5, hey, let's find out. If you missed it, who's Ray picking, the Eagles or the Raiders? Let's hear what he said to Angelo this week.
Prediction number one, Eagles at Las Vegas, 4:05, Sunday. What do you say?
I'm basing this purely on what I saw from the Raiders last week. I thought they played well. From the Eagles, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if the coaching staff has any answers, really. I don't think the Raiders are world beaters, but right now they certainly seem to have a better idea of what they want to do than the Eagles. So I'm going to take the Raiders 30-27.
Johnny's taking the Raiders. That's all right. It makes sense. Yeah. Now, I would pick the Raiders. I do think you are overrating the Raiders' chances, John, but, you know, we'll see. Let's talk to Chris right now in Northeast Philadelphia. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Chris.
So first off, congratulations on 5 years.
Thank you.
I say this, I think I've said this a couple times, every time I call into one of these shows, the most hilarious and the best audio you guys got, and it never gets played because it can't, it's too long, but it's the Joe Eats Tripe. That was an amazing day, amazing audio. Oh,
I thought it was awful, honestly.
It was so awful.
Yeah.
Well, it was great for comedic reasons, though, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to Becky Hinderleiter.
Yeah,
thank you.
That was cool.
Absolutely.
All right, so I had a question for you guys as far as some of the stuff Daryl Morey said yesterday.
Yeah.
When he talks about buckling in and this could take 4 years, how much of that do you think is posturing and how much of that do you think is like he really thinks that this could go on for 4 years?
I think it is mostly posturing, but I don't think it's posturing that it could go on for many months.
Yeah, it's impossible that this would go on for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's hyperbole in that what he's saying is he's not putting a cap on this thing.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to do the right thing, wait until there's an offer that makes the team good enough in his estimation to merit the trade. He's not saying it's going to take 4 years. There's that is obscene.
I hope so, because I was thinking that the deadline was, I mean, like the trade deadline was probably going to be as far as it goes. Then that scared me a little bit, but it's good to hear that, though.
But I mean, you know, admittedly, Chris, we don't know. I mean, I tend to think you're right. I don't think Ben Simmons is going to be a Sixer in March, but I guess it depends on the ridiculous offers the Sixers get. I mean, there is a whole nother part of this that we've touched on before, but let's just hit again quickly here. I mean, Ben might have devalued himself so dramatically that all the offers stink. And the Sixers simply will not accept any of them until Ben actually plays for them to try to raise offers. I mean, that is possible.
Yeah. And that's a little scary to think about.
But that could very much be what's occurring here. I mean, it really could be. And let's remember, I mean, you know, the kind of trade that we envisioned a few months ago, like the Malcolm Brogdon trade, can't even happen now. It's against the rules because Brogdon signed a new contract and he's not eligible to be traded. And so, like, that whole thing's off the – and he was one of the very few guys that intrigued me as a guard that's, like, you know, not Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal level, but not, like, some scrub guy level. Like, Malcolm Brogdon's a good player.
I would have took D'Angelo Russell personally.
Like, I would rather have Brogdon than Russell. They're somewhat comparable, but I kind of trust Brogdon a little more. Chris, give me a song that references a city.
All right, I thought of a better one since I told mine to Jimmy, so I switched it up. I'm going London Calling by The Clash.
You got it, man.
It is a better one. Great answer.
Chris, yeah. Good stuff, man. James, what was the name of that song earlier I referenced? It's got London Town.
Oh, I got to look at it. It was the Kanye and Estelle song. I think it's something with America in the title. I'll look it up.
American Boy?
American Boy.
What a great song.
It's an outstanding song.
It's an amazing song.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, John, James went into, like, song rendition earlier today.
I was singing a little bit of it.
Now, James, you want to give it a shot live
on
the air?
The words that well. The problem is, like, Mr., really, really nice to meet ya. Na, 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 now it's just my time.
You know what? I'm going to give that an A for effort, and I'm going to give that a B-plus for execution.
Thanks, buddy.
I mean, that was a solid job.
Knowing the words usually helps.
I think people listening, if they're familiar with that song, probably recognize what you just did right there. What people did not recognize with Pete the Hammer today was a loss, because it didn't happen. But, John, it did very famously happen on our show the 23rd time we played Pete the Hammer. After a starting point of 22-0, I finally lost about 4 years ago. And it was quite a moment.
I love the part when it occurs to you that you actually lost.
Yeah, you're like, wait, did I lose? Did I lose?
It was such a foreign concept.
It was.
To us, too. I mean, yeah. John Ritchie literally ran down the hallway yelling at the top of his lungs.
Absolute
elation. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it really is akin to when Jordan, you know, got stripped by Nick Anderson. You happen to lose. I mean, okay, eventually you lose at some point. So, yeah, it happens, but... You know, Jordan's still Jordan, the Hammer's still the Hammer. But you guys can all enjoy your little moment here. Let's play it. This was a couple years back. This was one of the most classic moments ever in the history of our show.
The Flyers have only had the number one pick overall one time in their history. Who did they take?
Oh, hell, I don't have any freaking clue. Flyers with the number one overall pick. The number one overall pick, well, I will just guess, because I don't know who it was at all, so I will just guess that the Flyers drafted Bobby Clark.
Oh, my Lord!
It has happened!
Oh, my Lord!
Jamie, come on the air! You have beat the Hammer!
I lost. Dude, hat break.
Yeah!
No, this ain't right.
Yeah! The Hammer goes down in flames!
This ain't right.
Yeah! Hallelujah! Oh, my goodness!
Oh, no.
Richie was just out of his mind.
Out of his mind, yes.
And then, John, do you remember all the Times Yours callers that called in for the next show that just went, I mean, Times Yours exploded with excitement.
As it should have.
Unbelievable. All right, to the phones we go. Hope everyone enjoyed that. I did not. Joe in Mayfair. Good afternoon, Joe.
Happy 5th anniversary, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
I'll tell you down. Love that. Love that part of the show. Congrats on great 5 years, and thank you for all the entertainment, as I would say, the sarcasm, the joy, it's great to listen to guys that know Philadelphia and give us what we want every single day on the radio.
Thank you.
Well, unlike Ben Simmons, who just takes three shots in seven games.
I know. And thanks for all your calls and listening, Joe. We appreciate it. We don't take it for granted, man.
I completely get that. You know, Joe, when you first said about BS and Joel Embiid ruining his trade value, I kind of blame Morey for not and Rivers for not telling the team to shut it. Because what's happened now is this is like a tennis match. Ben's going to come back and say, now I got mental issues and my back hurts. You want to screw with me? Now my trade value is even worse. And, you know, I think the Sixers management probably didn't see this coming, but he's worth not even a quarter on the dollar now. Because what team's going to want someone with mental issues or playing that game and playing a game of being hurt? It's like a game of chicken.
I know. By the way, Joe,
this became into a soap opera.
And there's a whole other aspect to this, which I think sometimes, I mean, we know about, but we don't talk enough about. The difficulty of trading a guy that's got a like sinking career, but with a max contract. I mean, like, you know, you can make the case it's a miracle if someone takes Ben off the Sixers' hands. I mean, I don't
think it's going to happen. That's why I think Daryl Morey said what he said. It could take 4 years.
Yeah, I mean,
the Sixers ain't doing. There's no reason for the Sixers to trade him now. There's none.
See, here's the way I'll look at it. And this is the part about the Sixers' strategy that I appreciate. Take the Raiders all those years ago with Randy Moss. Totally different situation. But his value had plummeted. I mean, ultimately, he got traded to New England for what? Like a fourth-round pick? Like, sometimes make the guy play through it more to raise the value instead of just taking a garbage offer. And that's why I believe – I mean, Joe, look, I wish the Sixers had traded him in the offseason. Obviously, we're not privy to what the offers were. We just aren't. But I do think there is something to be said for trying to rehabilitate him here in order to try to raise his value. I really believe that.
Well, here's my question.
And guys can come back, for lack of a better way to put it, from the dead. I mean, Antonio Brown is a successful active part of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he's better than he was last year when he was just a part-time player kind of joining them halfway through. Like, he's a factor now. But 2 years ago? I mean, 2 years ago – I mean, you know, I thought there might be a better chance he was going to end up in jail than on a football field.
So that is true, guys. But he's never come out and said, I got mental problems and now my back hurts, just to play the system.
Yeah, I know.
So my question is, when and if Ben Simmons does not, he's not going to come back. But if he is traded, what does the NBA do all of a sudden when his back's no longer an issue and no longer I have mental problems? I mean, what does the NBA do with a player who's misrepresenting himself as a player of the organization after the fact? And I really do believe, in all honesty, he will not be traded this entire season because he's not going to put on the Sixers uniform again.
Yeah.
He will find a way not to play again in Philadelphia. And I'm actually happy of that. And I hope this team uses it as motivation to go out there and show BS what we're all about without him.
I hope so, too. Look, the NBA question you ask is a big one. I mean, I don't know the answer. We just know that we need the NBA to do something. It's very complicated. Joe, give me a song that references the city.
I'm going back to our teenage life, and I think we're all in the same ballpark. I'm in my mid-40s. No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Already referenced. Give me a different one.
Ooh, I don't have one.
Okay, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. I mean, John, I can't imagine how exactly the league would put a mechanism in place to try to protect in the future against the Ben Simmons situation, but they're going to have to try something.
Yeah, a change needs to be made. And hopefully this whole situation will help institute the changes that need to be.
I mean, they'll certainly give it a crack. I mean, how much the Players Association is resistant when that new collective bargaining agreement comes up in about 2 years or is negotiated.
But this is just so ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous.
Everyone who's involved with that, they have to understand, like, this man has 4 years left on his contract.
I know.
And he wants out because he can't play. Like, he wants out because of, like, really nothing.
I mean, listen, I'll say this.
It's frivolous.
It is frivolous. Here's an example of something they could do in the future. Let's just say Ben gets paid for sitting out, John. Entirely possible if he pulls the mental health card and it's deemed acceptable.
and he gets paid. Like, I think the team should have salary cap relief. And that doesn't solve your problem like this year, but like, there's no, let me put it this way. There's no way the Sixers should be on the hook. It's one thing to pay him. It's another thing to not be able to use the salary cap space to pay somebody else in his absence. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if he actually sat out for 4 years with mental health issues?
Wow.
Like, if he actually sat out for 4 years with mental health issues, are you telling me the 76ers get no salary cap relief?
I
mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it just makes...
Well, none of this, though.
I mean, none of it. I mean, the whole thing's a farce. We all know it's a farce. 215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, John Rich, 1 o'clock today. Our NFL picks. We'll get to that. We'll rock all your calls throughout the show. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie on this Football Friday on 94 WIP. Hey, there is a lot of big games coming up week 7 of pro football, including you can get in on Houston and Arizona. Lopsided game, to say the least. And FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is about to make it even bigger for you because FanDuel is giving new customers remarkable 30-1 odds on either team to win the game. Now, let's be real. We know who's going to win, right? I mean, come on. It's Houston and it's Arizona, and you get to pick the team, and I think we know which one should be picked, Arizona, and you get 30-1 odds? Yeah, 30-1 odds when you bet this game with FanDuel Sportsbook. That means you can end the week right by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel Sports Betting made simple. They're always hooking you up with great offers, including this one, 30-1 odds. Plus, when you win, they'll get you paid fast, your winnings in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up using promo code HAMMER. That's promo code HAMMER before Houston takes on Arizona. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code HAMMER exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about a great spread of food we've got in front of us here, and thank you. The Bud Light Food Drop is brought to us by Galifty's in Bryn Mawr, a place I've been to many, 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 many times. And you can pregame with Ava Graham before the Eagles game this Sunday. Win signed Eagles merchandise and enjoy Bud Light specials before and during the game. Online at galifty's.com. John, how about this food? James, I mean, we're looking.
Oh, my gosh.
We're looking at some food here.
First of all, the alligator tacos were fantastic.
Love it.
Alligator. Louisiana alligator tail tacos, and I love them. And those wings, man. Delicious. That sauce.
Yeah, the sauce on
the
pizza,
homemade
too.
Oh, bourbon barbecue sauce. Yeah, the chicken Diablo pizza.
Galifty's is
Diablo
spicy.
Pizza is phenomenal.
It's a legit place. Awesome spot. Galifty's.com. Get yourself there again in Bryn Mawr. Wonderful food, and we thank them. We thank Bud Light for bringing this food in today. 215-592-9494. Our NFL picks coming up here at 1 o'clock. Let's go to Tom in Westchester right now. Hey, Tom.
Good day, gents.
Hi, Tom.
Hallelujah on 5 years.
Hallelujah?
Yeah.
Ben Stiffens. One thing that none of us know about, including Ben and his agent, is what other financial transactions the Sixers have behind the scenes. NBA teams are required to ensure their top five highest paid players' salaries. Insurance contracts come with a lot of inclusions and exclusions. So if Ben's not careful, he might end up in court.
That is interesting. So are you saying that you think there is a possibility that the Sixers could call fraud on Ben Simmons and get out of having to owe him $150 million? Is that what you're insinuating?
I'm not insinuating it. I mean, it's public knowledge. You can go out on the net and find it. And this is really basic.
Yeah.
If a player misses 41 games in a row due to the same injury, whether that be mental illness or a back injury, then the insurance contract kicks in and repays the team 80% of that player's salary.
Oh.
See, Tom, you're bringing up good stuff here, and I'll say this. I have thought the whole time, and I don't know this, it's just been my gut feeling, that the Sixers are more in tune with the legal side of things than Ben Simmons and his agent.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
I think that's part of why the Sixers have been playing it the way they've been playing it.
Yeah,
including welcoming Ben in the facility. See, that was part of my point a couple days ago when people were telling me I was nuts to even let Ben in. I'm like, part of the reason you let Ben in is you let him do something stupid
that can get you out of having to pay him.
Well, part of the problem is I don't think Ben's in tune with his agent, with his camp. I think there's a disconnect there.
Maybe. You say, so, I mean, maybe.
I think the Sixers did their homework. They know exactly what they can and can't do, what they're entitled to, where they can get something back. And they're letting Ben sort of hang himself. Is it, like, you know, like he's going and making mistakes in terms of, like, legalities.
He very well might be.
Yeah, I mean, an insurance contract at its core is a bet. So what do good bettors do? They hedge their bets, right?
Well, a great bettor just wins the bet.
The Sixers are, I'm sure, have other hedges out there against this likelihood.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
You can't just let somebody walk away with $159.
No, you cannot. Tom, give me a song that references a city.
All right. Did you guys have a contest this week about animals too?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite remember.
I think it did. Well, whatever. I'm going to go with House of the Rising Sun.
And what's
reference?
New Orleans?
There is a house in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a huge answer right there, man. I mean, that is what a great song, man. I've been listening to that more and more lately, John. Because, you know, I've got my YouTube. You know, I listen to a lot of songs on YouTube. Yeah, around the house, you know, I got a tiny little apartment.
Well, it's like the way that you listen to songs.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Primary way.
It's the primary way I listen to songs. Whether I'm doing a puzzle, you know, cleaning up, doing the dishes. Yeah, maybe the West Wing's on, maybe song's on. Like, yeah, just it's chill. For me, it's very, very comfortable. Let's go to Dan in Philadelphia right now. Dan, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Doing great, Dan.
Happy five-year anniversary, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
John, 5 years and you haven't put your hand on Joe. That's an incredible feat. It's even bigger feat than all the wins Joe has in Beat the Hammer.
Dan, there's a simple reason for that. He's afraid.
You're like Ben Simmons. He's afraid you're going
to tune this clown up, man.
Get out of your contract by saying, I'll include you in the Hey, Joe, are you ready for the win on Sunday?
We talking the Eagles or a different team?
Yeah, the Eagles are going to get them.
I don't know. I'm ready for it. I would welcome it. I mean, if the Eagles win on Sunday, they're going to be 4-4, and now they're completely in the hunt for a wild card spot. Totally in the hunt.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to win Sunday. I think the Eagles are so blessed that they should pay Ben Simmons right now for distracting. Even if they lose, this Ben Simmons drama is still going to take away from how bad the Eagles are.
It's hard to overshadow the Eagles, but Ben Simmons has this week. Yeah, I mean, that is a rarity in football season.
The past week and the week coming up. I mean, like I said, even if they lose, this Ben Simmons is going to overshadow that, and they're not going to get as much heat as they should. And the Eagles should be thankful for that.
Maybe. All right, Dan, give me a song that references a city.
Real quick, does the agent get paid right away, John? Like your agent, when you sign your contract, do they take their 5% or 10%, whatever they get, right away?
No. You end up having to write them a check.
After you've been paid.
Yeah.
So, like, Ben Simmons' agent has already been paid his portion of the $150 million.
No, John's saying the opposite. No. He's saying he might have been paid for, like, last year's salary, but not this year's salary.
Oh, okay. So it's each year.
It's probably some.
Once he gets paid, he'll get billed.
John, is it a once a year or is it a twice a year? Different structures, probably.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Dan, give me a song.
I'm just trying to figure out if Ben stops listening to his agent, if the agent drops Ben, just to clear himself from all of this.
Well, even if he drops him, he still owes him the money that the agent negotiated for him.
I don't know if it's like the full amount though. I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know.
But I know that he will still owe him.
All right, Dan, a song that's referenced in a city referenced in a song.
I think it changed rap music, Straight Outta Compton.
I'm sorry, what do you say? I couldn't hear it.
Great answer, Straight Outta Compton.
Oh yeah, great. Well, fantastic answer. Absolutely. Twitter poll question. That was one of those ones where you guys hear and I just literally did not hear.
So,
which has happened many times in our 5 years.
Yeah.
You think that Clutch? Mm-hmm. If they were to drop Ben, then they would no longer be owed whatever percentage of this contract of the next 4 years. Like,
I don't
know.
They
negotiated this deal, the deal that he's on, and he will owe them.
You could be totally right. I just don't know.
But think about the alternative. Like, then every player would just drop their agent after they sign a contract and say, well, I don't have to pay you anymore.
Right, but I guess what I'm getting at is, let's just say he would owe them 5%. I'll just use that as a simple one. I don't know if it's probably lower than that. Let's just say it's 5%. You know, maybe there's a clause in there that says if he has them the whole time through the deal, he gives them 5%. If he cuts them at some point, he owes them 4%. Like, I'm just because, you know, there is the use of their services for the 4 years after the contract is signed, for instance, for situations like this. I mean, Clutch is working on his behalf right now. If it's not Clutch, someone else could. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I mean, I don't know how that stuff's structured. I really, really don't.
I'm sure it varies, but he's still on the hook to pay him.
Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Beers and Gears, the craft beer and car show is back Sunday, October 24th at Delaware Park. Details online at DelawarePark.com. Today's question, who wins on Sunday? A, the Eagles, or B, the Raiders? Speaking of questions, I'm still trying to figure out why, when I was 22 years old, I just didn't go into the world of being a sports agent. James, why am I not taking 3% of some millionaire, 100 millionaire salary?
Joe, I'm asking myself the same question.
I mean, the three of us sit here together. Why?
We could be making a lot more money than we are. I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, what the heck?
I know a lot of people want
might have to go to law school. I don't know. One of those things or something.
But, oh, man. It's like, why don't I become a hedge fund manager? I don't understand.
That's a great point, Joe.
Like, why don't I do that? Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. But we're happy with what we do, certainly. And we appreciate everyone that listens. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie up ahead. Our NFL picks. We'll get to drop of the week and much more in the 1 o'clock hour on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.